Well, it's always great to be back here. I always say I was raised here, not so much as a child, but in the sense of my spiritual growth, Tina, and how I do things now and how I move around the United States and get to share all over the place. I always feel like if I come back here, I need to give a report on what took place before I get into what I'm doing. I think one of the most exciting things that God has opened up for me is the schools. I get to go into the schools, public schools, to share the testimony. Now, let me tell you where I'm at. Okay, I'm in California. That's where God has opened up the doors at. I get to go down. I'm down in the San Luis Obispo area, Santa Barbara area, going into the public high schools and junior highs and sharing this story that some of you will hear for the first time here and others have heard. I get to also next year get to go in the Sacramento area and share it. It's usually the Christian club that asks me to come in. And then the kids go to out to school and says, this man has died. He's coming here to share. And you know what happens. It fills up. And what I usually do is show the video. I'm going to show the video here for some of you that haven't seen it before, that the 700 Club put together. I answer questions for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then we ask for salvations. And you know what happens. Many of those kids raise their hands for the first time to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, last year we did 4 high schools in the area and 3 junior highs. And we reached over 2,000 kids, you guys, in those schools. That's Jesus. He's the one that's opened up the door. He's the one that's made it available in that sense. And in California, you know, I know, most people, when I say California, they're shocked. But they got to understand, just like Pastor said, God loves these people. He wants them more than we do. A lot of times we think that we got to do this and this and this. And all we have to do is what God wants us to do. As Pastor Jan said earlier, you know, we got to start looking through his eyes. He sees things that we don't see. You know, I know there's a lot of things that will offend us and make us not want to do something, but God looks past all that and he's looking at the heart of the person because he spends time with that person at night when no one else is with them. You guys get what I just said? So don't count out anybody. Don't say anybody is thrown into the trash heap or put on the side, because my Father knows exactly what's going on in their lives. And he knows that if he called you into that direction, just like Paul, in the sense of Ananias being called to talk to Saul or Paul at the time, you know, and Ananias had an idea of what Saul was like or Paul at the time was like, but God had already been there. Somebody better hear what I just said. I believe that God doesn't have me say these things just to be saying them because they sound good. I believe God has me to say them because he's warning you that he's getting ready to use you in that area. Maxine, you might as well get ready because he's getting ready to use you in that area. Now, the reason I'm saying your name because I'm looking at you and you shaking your head. But I'm talking to everybody else, too. I'm not just talking to you. So I'm saying that to you so you understand. Some of you have been praying and asking God to use you more. He said, I'm getting ready to use you. You ask, I'm getting ready to use you. He wants these people, you guys. Yes, he does. He wants them. He wants every one of them, not just a few of them, not a percentage of them. You know, I'm going to get started, but I'll get started, John. So I'm going to say something, okay? Most of us don't realize in the book of Jonah, and that's the story of the man that gets swallowed up by a great fish or a whale, whatever you want to call it. Remember that story? And he goes to a town that is really perversive and perverted, rather. And things are going so bad in that town. And yet God sends him to that town to tell the people to repent. Remember that story, you guys? And what happened? 100% of them repented. Not 99.9%, 100% of them turned toward the Lord. Now, Jonah wasn't happy about it. You understand what I'm talking about? Because he probably wanted some of them to go to hell. You understand what I mean? But God wants them still. And I believe that if he can do it then, he can do it now. You've got to understand that. I just came back from Austin, Texas last weekend. I was there with my son. Me and him went there. And we didn't go there to speak like you would think. We went there because the churches in Austin, Texas have come together to put a campaign together for Easter. And what they're trying to do is to reach as many people as they can in Austin, Texas, and the greater area for Jesus Christ. They're put aside their doctrine differences so that they can reach people for Jesus. And I was one of six people that they brought in to do a production around. They're doing a production around the story that I'm going to talk about a little bit in a few minutes. Okay. And what they did is they brought me in and several others that had this experience of dying and going to be in heaven. And they wanted to do a production so that when Easter comes around next year, they put it out on the airwaves. They put it on the billboards. They have posters all around so people will be aware that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And it's a big production. They didn't bring in amateurs to do the production. They brought in people that were skilled in how to do this because they're after all of Austin and the greater area of Texas. Whether you realize it or not, they're not the only ones that's doing this in the United States. And I know we're looking at the government, and I know we're looking at all these other things that are going on, but God is still moving greatly, you guys. Just because you're not in the know of it doesn't mean he ain't moving. Just because he didn't come to you and ask you for advice on how to do it, and you can give him your pointers, doesn't mean God is not moving. He's still going to be after everybody up to the last day. He's going to put 100% into it up to the last day. You might as well be a part of it. I believe that this church has been a part and will be a part. I just believe that. I believe it even if you don't believe it. I'll hold that belief for a while until you see it happen, and then you can start believing it. But I believe that this church is supposed to be a part of that movement also. You know, God wants Tacoma. God wants the greater area of Tacoma. God wants Seattle, whether you want it or not. And he's doing all kinds of things to get it, you guys. Now, I didn't come up here to start off like that, but I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me to say right off the bat. I got several books out there. Pastor talked about the newest one that didn't come in. It's coming in on Monday. I'm staying with Rick and Nancy Teal, and they'll have a box of them, probably bring them back to church. You guys are coming back to church next Sunday, Rick? Okay. So they'll be here, okay? All right. For whatever reason, it's the one box that didn't come in, John, even though I ordered them a month ago. You know, for what reason it didn't come here. But I got several books out there. This Deep Worship in Heaven was birthed right out of this through Tammy Haywood here. She's in this book as credited for helping me to get this book off the ground. I know I've given many of them already to the praise and worship team, but I saw that there was new faces up there. So we got to make sure they get them also, okay? So make sure that I leave enough for you to give to the new faces that I've seen on there, okay? And it all is, Tammy, is that it's my expression of what it was like in heaven to tell our Father how much we love him. When we sung that song, he knows our name. You know, I hear it all over the United States now. And people get so personal with it because that's all they are looking at. It's me and God now. And I'm just knowing that he loves me and I love him. And that's what that book is really all about. Trying to get people to realize it's a very personal thing. Even though you're singing with other people, it's not that you're there to harmonize with them. You're not. It's not that you're there to be in a chorus together with them. It's really that you're there so that you can tell your Father how much you love him. Is that good news? So that's what that book is all about. The other book is In Heaven. It used to be In Heaven, Experiencing the Throne of God, but we went through a revision. Me and my son Gabriel. You know, he works for me now. You know, you guys. And he does a good job. If you see all the visuals, all the stuff, that's Gabriel doing all that stuff. He directs me. My youngest son directs me. That is a humbling experience. Praise God. Pray for him, please. And so we just put this out. It's the same book. It's just that we wanted to put it out in a different way because we're going to really we're starting to put it on audio form. Finally, Deep Worship is on audio forms and Marilyn's book is on audio form. You can find it and download it into your computers, iPads, whatever you got. OK, John, I know you had it, but here it is again. OK, that might mean you need to read it one more time. Marilyn's book is out there. It just came out. I like to point two things out in Marilyn's book. We're going to get into this story, like I said. But the one thing I like to point out in Marilyn's book, and I like to point out everywhere I go, there's two things that Marilyn did in this time frame when I died for 1 hour and 45 minutes. I always tell people I can prove I died. That's the easy thing. We're going to see the video. You're going to see that doctor that actually was in the room. You've seen it before, but he still lives in your area. This isn't your backyard. This isn't somewhere across the United States. This isn't somewhere across the world. This is in your backyard that this took place. Yeah. God is still doing miracles. Yeah. Whether you realize it or not. Yep. Okay. But the reality of it, my wife, I called her the Jiro because she directed how people should pray for me. And I still say this to people. You got to start directing how people should pray for you. You shouldn't let anybody just pray just to pray and pray and just pray. Because they may not be in agreement with you. And I got my brother Rick. He always keeps me up to date. What's the latest teaching out of this church? And he just told me how you taught about agreement. And it means more than what we think it is, that we just agree. Like me and Pastor John, we've been together for a long time. We're in agreement. So if he was to pray for me, I wouldn't have to tell him to be in agreement because we're already in agreement. You guys got to grab what I just said there. So my wife, she was telling people how to pray for me. And anybody that would come to the hospital, Tacoma General, that didn't believe I could be healed, she wouldn't let in the room with me. You've heard this before, but listen to it again. It's important. Many of you are getting in trouble because you're not taking the step that she took. And what she took was anyone that didn't believe, she told them visiting hours is over. She wouldn't let them around me. She wouldn't let them in the room. Some of you, George, got to come to the realization you got to start telling people visiting hours is over. You got to tell them that. You wonder why you're going against the wind because you're letting everybody come in that ain't going to believe like you're believing. And some of you are believing for some things that only God can do. So you can't be going through your mind and trying to change things and say, because all of a sudden you got something else to worry about. Somebody out there, you need to hear what I'm saying. You're letting everybody around, and they're not speaking faith in your life. They're speaking death. And you need to tell them visiting hours is over. I'm just putting that out there. The other thing she did that I think was really good is that I think it's really good. It's that I can think. Seriously. I lost oxygen to my brain for 1 hour and 45 minutes. There's no way you should be able to understand me right now. There's no way you should be able I should not be able to be even put words together right now. But when they came to my wife and they told her that I would probably have brain damage, she said something that we all in this room that know Jesus Christ needs to start saying. It doesn't have to be that way. And the reason she said that, Tina, is because she was going by God's way. She didn't tell the doctor they were wrong. They didn't know what they're talking about. She didn't start preaching to them and putting them down. They were doing the best they could. Right. But what she was saying to them is, I got another way. I got a person that says it's another way, and I'm going to believe that way. Yeah. Some of you got to get this. You're going through situations and terrible things in your life. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. I'll give this one to you, Denny. You had it. This is my friend Denny and Vicky right here. They're sister and brother of mine. I used to go to this church down in Grants Pass. I know where Grand Junction is in Colorado. I do that in 2 weeks. That's why it's coming up. But I used to go down to his church and minister down there a whole lot. He's moved on. You still working with Franklin? He's working for Franklin Graham now. So I don't know what he does, but I know he works for Franklin Graham. Whatever Franklin says, praise God. And the last book I wanted to bring out is I Need You There, Saying the King. And the reason I bring it up is because me and one of the Grecos coordinated on this. My daughter-in-law. If you didn't know it, my daughter-in-law is Sarah. She used to be a Greco. Now she's a Braxton. Okay, she's still a Greco. Okay. But we coordinated on this book, and it was really for the children. It was to help them to see not only about going to heaven, but also how important it is to be back on this planet to fulfill your purpose. It's a coloring book and a story book that we put together, and it's out there. So I know you got 2 grandchildren. I'll give you one and make sure you get another one, okay?
Okay.
But I just wanted to share those things. We're going to see a video, and then I'm coming back up here, and we're getting started. Some of you have heard the story before. And as much as I've said it, my father doesn't let me get away from it. It still impacts people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm back on the planet for one reason. That is to make sure that people know about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whether you realize it or not, you're on the planet for one reason. The same reason. Sometimes people say, well, God must have sent you back for some great reason. Yeah, the same reason he sent you here. The Great Commission is the Great Commission. It hasn't changed. It's still the most important thing in that Bible is that we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. We can disciple them. We can raise them up. But then we're raising them up to do what? To go tell more people about Jesus Christ. The growth is so that they go out and do the things they need to do. I grew here. And now I get to go around the world and share this gospel. So let's go ahead and show that real quick. And then I'm coming back up here. Maybe slow down a little bit. Maybe not. We'll see. I couldn't catch my breath. It was getting shallower and shallower. And I can remember saying to myself, I am dying.
And then his blood pressure dropped.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, what's wrong with him?
His heart stopped.
And he says, well, we need to intubate your husband right now, or else he could die.
And then we start doing the chest compressions.
Dean Braxton's system was shutting down. It started as a routine procedure to remove a kidney stone. Now he was dying. Dr. Manuel Irigui was on duty in the critical care unit at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way, Washington. He explains what went wrong.
As it turns out, with him, the antibiotic that he received was not good for the bacteria. It was resistant.
Dean's body went into multi-organ failure, and his heart flatlined. Dr. Irigui's team worked furiously to revive him. Dean's wife, Marilyn, prayed.
I did say to the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word that you've come to give Dean life and life abundantly. And I claim that abundant life for him.
At times, the unit was in chaos as they worked to save Dean's life. But he was experiencing something very different.
I wasn't afraid. It was like, I'm going home.
Dean believes he went to heaven.
When I first entered in, it was just bright. It wasn't so much what I saw as much as what I experienced. The first thing I perceived was, everything is right. There's nothing wrong here. And I said, it's past peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that says, peace past understanding. That's what's going on there. It's landscape, but more, because everything's alive. Nothing's dead. I don't mean just live like grass. I mean, it's intelligent. It can move. You know, it thinks. And someone says, well, that's way out there. It was way out there for me. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Dean says he felt like he was being pulled back into his body. Then he flatlined a second time. Again, he was in heaven. This time, he saw Jesus.
The first thing that comes to me is he's bright, just like John says, he's brighter than the noonday sun. And the next phrase I say, I wish people could grab it, and it's this one. And we can look at him. And what you're looking at is not so much the physical part of it. You're really experiencing the love he has for you. And I tell people it's like he only loves you and no one else. I saw him communicating to angels. He would just look at them. Communication there was thought to thought. They would acknowledge his receiving his information, bow before him like this, and then back out. And it was like, wow.
Dean admits he didn't want to come back.
And I don't tell you the truth. I was happy. I was planning on staying, you know, and people always say, yeah, you know, didn't you love your wife and your children? Yes, I loved them probably more than I ever could. But I was thinking, you come here. You come here where everything is right.
Then Dean saw family he hadn't seen in a long time.
And yet, on the other side of Jesus was my family, my grandmother Mary, but with her were other relatives. And some I had recognized. I had been on this planet when they were here. But then there was generation after generation after generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that helped to produce me on this planet. They came to greet me in, and it was like, God.
While Dean was in heaven, Marilyn continued asking God for a miracle.
I purposed in my heart that whatever the outcome, I was going to follow God all the way.
After an hour and 45 minutes, Dean came back with a weak but steady heart rate. But the bacteria had done a lot of damage, and he had to go on dialysis.
I did not think he was going to survive. In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now, well, we have just to pray and wait, because there's nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional, because he was really, really dead for a long time.
So what does a man do who's experienced heaven and still wants to be there? Dean says Jesus told him something that keeps his feet firmly planted.
I felt like he was saying, I need you there more than I need you here. And I came to understand then how important it was for me to complete what God had put me on this planet to do. The bottom line is, until I'm finished here, you know, and I cannot go back home. I tell people most of the time, I'm on my way home. Don't get me wrong. I'm on my way home. This is the pathway my Father says I have to go to get home.
That's the same video I show in the high schools, you guys. And you see, Jesus is all in it. You know, so it's just one of the things that God has opened up for me to be able to do is to... And if anyone knew my background, I worked in the juvenile justice system in King County. Matter of fact, helped to run the juvenile justice system in King County for a number of years. So I love to work with youth, our kids, our teenagers, our adolescents. I know some of you parents are saying, okay, keep on doing it because you can have them, you know. But I loved it, you know. So God opened up the doors for me to be able to go into the schools. And I've done it in Illinois. I've done it in West Virginia. I'm going to do it in Detroit. I'm going to do it also in some other places throughout the United States, because now it's kind of, it's people saying, how are you getting into the schools? And they want me to come in and share in the schools. The other thing that I do is that book in heaven, God blesses me to be able to give each kid that come a book. So it's not just they leave out of there and just, they're, you know, God has opened up the doors where people have given into the ministry for me to be able to purchase those books so I can give them away to the kids in the high schools, you know. And this is all for Jesus. You guys hear what I just said? See, my name don't get you into heaven. I came to know that a long time ago. Sometimes we think our name gets a person into heaven. No, it's Jesus that gets you into heaven. I'm free. I'm just doing what he says. I'm on my way home. You heard that statement. You know, and if you that are born again, whether you realize it or not, you on your way home too. What do you got to lose? You ain't got nothing to lose because you already got everything. You know, that means pay attention. Tina, I ain't stopped it. You know what I mean? I still do it. You know, it's like the flag man that's on the side of the road and he's telling you to slow down and think about something. That's all this means. Okay. And since I don't got a Fitbit like I used to, I don't get no more points like I used to. Like on there. All right. I do got an iPhone, but it's a little bit more sensitive. You don't, unless you move in it, it don't count. You know, that type of thing. You know, you used to get a lot of points by doing this. I don't get it no more. Scripture that I want to open up with this morning is very important to me to open up with this scripture. And it's found in Matthew, the sixth chapter, starting at the ninth verse. And it says this, okay? And it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the reason I start off with that is because a lot of times when I start talking about this experience I had in heaven, people separate it from the planet. It's like, that's heaven, we're here. And yet Jesus Christ is saying here, you can take an experience like that or that experience and bring it back down here on the planet and act in those ways. So many of the things I'm saying or I'll tell you about, see how you can apply it now in your life on this planet. Don't separate it. You have the ability to take the things that I'm saying and apply it here on this planet. Remember that. One of the other scriptures I love to say, and I say it almost everywhere I go, and it's found in John, the 14th chapter. I'm waiting for the, yeah, there it is. The 14th chapter, starting at the first verse, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You can apply that here on the planet. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can apply that on the planet. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Sometimes we take that place and we say, oh, that's a place there. But God has also created a place on this planet for you. It just doesn't mean there's a place in heaven for you only. There's a place on this planet. And I wish that people could grasp how important they are to be a part of this place on this planet. I know a lot of times when I talk, people say, well, I'm ready to go. I say, I want you to finish your job here. I think it was Pastor Sue just said to me a few minutes ago. She said, I ain't going until I'm ready. Some of you, you're going before you're ready. And whether you realize it or not, if you leave this planet before you're ready, we're going to miss out. Something that you were probably supposed to do all the way up until that moment you're supposed to go there, we're going to miss out on. And just like Pastor John said earlier, we're all connected. And whether you realize it or not, when someone leaves the planet earlier than they're supposed to, it impacts us. It impacts us. We may not know the fullness of the impact yet, but it impacts us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The main reason. Here's my shoe. I got to tie it, you guys. There's no, professional way of doing this, so just bear with me. I thought I tied it tight enough this time, you know. But the reality of it is, you've got to understand something. This is Jesus Christ telling everybody on the planet, sooner or later, you're going to leave. You that are connected to me are coming where I am. That's the bottom line. I love to say this, Patrick. I like to say this, and this is what I love to say. You don't even have to believe you go to heaven. As long as you're born again, you're going. It's out of your hands. Nowhere in the scripture does it say you have to believe to go into heaven to go to heaven. It does say you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you will be saved. That's what it says. I even get to talk to groups that don't even believe you go to heaven after you die. They believe you go in the ground and sleep for a while until the trumpet sounds and then you rise up and then you go. But I'm telling you, they going any old way. And the great thing about it, you know, is they're not going to be complaining when they get there. They're going to be glad they're wrong. I love to say this. There's many of things that we're wrong on that don't get us in or keep us out. It's all about Jesus, you guys. There's only one way, and that's Jesus's way. The reason I usually start off with this is because usually during the presentation or the speaking, someone gets up and leaves because they don't like me talking about this, especially when it comes to the scriptures. Because I'll tell you right off the bat, my story doesn't prove the word of God. The word of God proves my story. It's based in the word. It's in there. 99% of everything that I have been able to say, I can find scripture to. And there's some way out stuff, way out there. But it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. A lot of times we look at it from an earthly point of view, and yet God wants us to start seeing these things from a heavenly point of view. Your pastor has probably been preaching about how speaking in tongues helps him to be able to open up the mysteries of the Word. That's from a heavenly point of view. That's always telling you. You want to see it from a heavenly point of view? Start speaking in tongues. God will open it up for you. He wants you to know. You know, sometimes people think he's hiding things from us. We're playing hide and go seek. I'm going to hide it. You seek it. And all he said, all you have to do is come to him and start praying in tongues and he'll open it up and you'll see it. You know? And some of the things you're going to see ain't going to line up with other people what they saw. Sometimes it's because God wants you to see it that way. That doesn't mean, Angel, that he wants everybody to see it that way. He wants you to see it that way. But then sometimes the other people just saw it that way, and then they thought everybody should see it that way, so they wrote a book and told everybody, you got to see it this way. You guys getting this? God is a personal God. He knows exactly what he's doing, you guys. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. That's the only way. There is no other way. There is no other way. He's the only way. It's not something I came up with. It's not something I decided that I would just put out there and say this is the way because it gets more people to like me on Facebook. Seriously. You understand what I'm saying? It's not because I'm going to get more friends if I tell them that Jesus is the only way. It's the only way, whether I believe it or not. And my Bible literally says this to me. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to come out of their mouth sooner or later. Ted, whether we like it or not, somebody is going to come to that face of Jesus and they're going to say he's Lord. It's better they say it here because there it is too late. That's the way it is, Ken. That's just the way it is. No? And some of you say, well, I don't believe you. That's okay. You find out. Just like Rodney's finding out that I'm a Seahawk fan. Even though I live in Redskin territory. Even though the practice field is only a good, 10 minutes drive from my house. I'm still a Seahawk fan. Whether you know it or not, he's a Redskin fan. But the bottom line is, you guys, everybody's going to find out. One of the greatest experiences I had when I was there with the Father and Jesus in heaven. Now I don't have to go back and prove I died. You heard the doctor that was actually in the room. He said the man was really, really dead. And then he said for a long time. According to the medical records, 1 hour and 45 minutes. It's easy for me to prove I'm dead. I was dead. It's easy. I mean, that's why I get to go a lot of places. Because it's so vetted. You know, right now, Chuck, I'm getting ready to move into the VA system. I'm getting ready to talk to the lawyers of the VA system about what it's like to die as a Christian. That door is opened up for me right now. And the chief VA person is looking at me coming and talking to each lawyer in the VA to tell him what it's like to die. Because I can prove I died. You can say I didn't go to heaven, but you can't say I didn't die. Bottom line. And the reason I went to heaven, because Jesus said that's what happens to Christians.
That's right.
Pastor John, you've heard me say it again. I mean, before, and I'll say it again and again and again. It's not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. We make it sound like it's like, oh, man, you got to go to heaven? Like no one else gets to go. Like no one else is going to experience this. You're the only one. Howard, you're the only one that's going to experience this, and nobody else is going to experience it. No, if you're born again, guess what? You get to go too. You know, good thing, isn't it? But one of the greatest things I experienced when I was there is that when I got there and I saw Jesus, on the other side of Jesus was my family. My family. That was not my belief system at the moment. What do you mean? I didn't think it really mattered when you got to heaven if your family was there. Before this happened to me, if you asked me about this, I would say, it doesn't really matter. We're all the family of God. But on the other side of Jesus, Vicky, was my family. Those that I was, what do you say, produced out of. They all came to greet me in. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know that many of my family members had a connection with God. I didn't grow up around them. You know, I grew up in California. Most of them were in Texas and Oklahoma. We only go and visit them every once in a while. You know, 2-week vacation type of thing. I knew my grandmother Mary loved the Lord. And the reason I knew that is because when we got into her house, she always turned on the preacher station. We didn't have any cons back then, you guys. She didn't need one. She just turned up the radio as loud as it could go. And didn't matter where you were in that house, you were going to listen to somebody be preaching to you. And nothing was supposed to be louder than the radio. Some of you heard this before. George Foreman, remember the boxer? You know, we know him by the grills. The first time I really heard of George Foreman is he was preaching fire and brimstone on the radio. He was a preacher before he was the grill guy. I'm just letting you know that right now. I remember sitting at that table, listening to him tell us, if we didn't do this, we were all going to hell. I remember I was eating my food and it went down my throat real quick and I got up from that table. I was scared. You know, trying to eat food when you're scared is hard sometimes. But I'm letting you know that. I knew my grandmother Mary loved the Lord. I give her the credit for even praying me into the kingdom of God this day, you guys. Because in my household where I lived, my mom, my dad, we didn't go to church on a regular basis. We didn't talk about Christ. I never even heard about Jesus Christ through my parents at the moment. There were Bibles in the house, and I thought they were just for decoration. You guys know what I'm talking about. But Grandma's Mary's house, they weren't for decoration. She was reading it. I didn't understand it. I tried to read it many times, Genesis. You know, you start in Genesis, you ain't getting too far. Especially when you get to the baguettes, you know. And what is a baguette meant for a kid? I don't know what it meant. Today, I have a hard time still understanding what a baguette means. But here I am in heaven and my family, they're there. My family. And the thing that got me, it wasn't just the ones I knew. It was generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. Denny, I wish I could keep on saying generations forever. I wish I had a tape in the back of me that was still saying generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, so that maybe you could grab the magnitude of how important family really is. Yeah. That connection you have with your family is more important than you realize. And I know some of you say, well, I'm adopted into a family. Well, guess what? You're grafted into that family. And not only will you have that your adopted family come to greet you in, you'll have your biological family come to greet you in. I'm family with the Shears, whether I want to be or not. I'm family with the Butlers now, whether I want to be or not. I'm family with the Eckharts, whether I want to be or not. Because of my son marrying into the Greckles. And since they had a lot of kids, you understand what I'm talking about? And all those kids, except for one, has gotten married. You become family with all those people. So even whether I like it or not, some of the shears are going to come to greet me in. Whether I like it or not, some of the butlers are going to come to greet me in. Yeah. It's just the way it is, you guys. Because, yep. Pat, family's important to God. Amen. Family's important to God. You know, it's the hardest thing to get along with. Husband and wife have a hard time getting along with each other. But if a husband and wife are getting along, then they got family got to get along with. And everybody got family they don't want to get along with. I remember out of this very church, I was telling this to Cynthia. Remember Cynthia? Really funny. She moved to Utah, Salt Lake, Utah. And I was telling her about family, and she almost started crying. And she looked at me and she said, Dean, how big is heaven? Because I'm going to be on one side of heaven and my family's going to be on the other side. She's not the only one that thinks that way. Some of you in this room right now thinking, boy, I'm making sure that the distance is far there. The greatest thing about it is everything's right. There's nothing wrong. You get along with them, they get along with you. They have no more attitudes. You have no more attitudes. They're not going to bring up the past history and tell you how bad you used to be. And you ain't going to remind them of how bad they used to be. You know, you that don't get along with your parents, if they're there, guess what? You're going to get along with them. You ain't going to remind them how bad of a parent they used to be. It's not going to be mattering anymore. The reality of it is, I'll be honest with you. You get to experience family the way God wanted it to be experienced. And whether you realize it or not, in Genesis, the first chapter, God literally ordained family then. And he ordained family to be together forever. It was not supposed to be a temporal thing, a sometime thing, a passing thing. He had ordained family to be together forever. How do I know that? Because Adam and Eve were created to live forever until they sin. And when they sin, then all of a sudden separation came into the picture, or what we call death. You know? Some of you should be rejoicing. Because you're not experiencing family like it's supposed to be on this planet. You want to. You want to have that loving mother or that loving father that you don't get on this planet. You see someone else have it. They have a good time with their daughter or their son. And you think, man, I wish I could have that. Well, you're going to get it. It comes with the package. It comes with the package. On the other side of Jesus was my family. My grandmother Mary was out front, as I said earlier. You know, I'm in the process of writing this out in a book, Meeting Family in Heaven. It's the book that God has told me to put together next in detail. You know what I mean? And the first chapter is describing my grandmother Mary and letting you know she didn't look old. She wasn't wrinkled. She didn't have age spots. She had no baggy eyes. I'm telling you guys, she had tone skin. You guys, if you get old, you know what I'm talking about. It takes some work to get back to tone skin. The young people don't know what I'm talking about yet. But after a while, things start sagging. Whether you want them to sag or not. And you got to work hard to get them back to not sagging. Harder than they were before. Am I correct? You know, my wife, she's funny. She says she wants us to get into this exercising program. It's called the Eat the Frog. You ever hear of it, the Eat the Frog? The Eat the Frog. What it is the old John, the guy that came down here, Mark Twain, a statement. He's talking about if something's really bad, the best thing to do is eat it fast, eat the frog, and get it over with so the rest of your day would be good. Okay, that's what it really says, okay? So it's like, go ahead and do this exercise so the rest of your day will be good. It's called Eat the Frog. And I decided to go ahead and sign up with her for it. Last Thursday, she said, they're going to have us look at some machines. I said, well, I'll go look at the machines. Well, should I get in my gym clothes so I can look at them? I think you should. I go there. We do a full workout. I'm still feeling the pain from the full workout. I know it's going to be good someday. I'm just letting you know, my grandmother Mary didn't have to do no workout. Someone asked me one time, did she look young? She looked better than young. The moment she was there, and the reason I'm sharing this with you, because you have loved ones that are there now. You have loved ones that have left you on this planet that has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, the moment they got there, they looked good, but the next moment they looked even better. Every moment that a person is there, they look better than the moment they were there before. We can't even grasp that because on the planet, it's the other way around. Whether we want it to be that way or not, I'm in the process of losing weight. And I'm doing a good job. You know what I mean? I really have a goal to do it. I told the Lord that I would stay here until I'm 95 and then go home. So I got to be as healthy as I can. Now, he didn't agree to it, but I don't know if he agreed or not. But I'm going to give him the benefit. If he wants me to go home earlier, that's all right. But I'm going to stay here as long as I can to get as many people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every moment that you're there is shorter than the moment here. And it gets shorter. When you get there, it's short, and the next moment, it's shorter. You guys got to understand that. So here it is, you guys. My grandmother Mary. The best way for me to describe her, and you guys have heard this before, is she was shiny. She had a big smile and pure joy. Why was she shining? She was shining because Jesus Christ was shining out of her. Susan, that's the way it is. Whether you realize it or not, even though you got this body on you right now, guess what? Jesus Christ is shining out of you that are born again. Sometimes you can go somewhere and someone says, I see a light around you. You know what I'm talking about. That isn't because you're bright. That's because Jesus Christ is bright on the inside of you. Just the way it is, you guys. There, because you don't have your body with you, that's what it is. You just shine. She was shining. Sometimes people ask me, do you have clothes there? No, you don't have clothes there. I do that on purpose. Because all of us thinking, oh boy, I ain't going to be looking at that person. I don't want to see that. You don't think that way no more. The thinking is the first way it was in Genesis, the first chapter. So you don't even have that thinking. Don't even think that, you know. But I heard people have robes on. Really, it's Jesus Christ shining out of them. And it looks like a robe. My Bible calls it the robe of righteousness. You know, she had a big smile. Why did she have a big smile? She had no worries. She wasn't worried about anything. Nothing was bothering her. Nothing was getting to her. Sometimes people say, well, can they see you on the planet? I said, yeah, but how do they see you? They see you as Jesus sees you. They see you victorious. They see you overcoming. Is this good news? Yes. They ain't up there fretting if John's going to make it or not. Oh, I don't know. I can't look. John is not always messing up again. Look at it. Oh, man, help. It ain't even that way. You know? They see you as Jesus sees you. My best scripture for that has come out of Gideon. When Gideon was faced with the angel looked at him and he said, "You're a mighty man of valor." And any of you know the story, he was in a cave hiding. And yet, what did God see him as? A mighty man of valor. Some of you are in the cave and you're hiding, but God steals you, sees you as a mighty person of valor. Is this good news? And the greatest thing about that, me soon, is this. If he sees you that way, that's the way he speaks. And my Bible says every word that comes out of him will not return what? Void. Some of you got to realize you're going to succeed whether you like it or not. Because God's called it into existence. Is this good news? No? Pure joy. What is that? The closest I can come is when you hold a baby in your arms for the first time. You that have had your child for the first time. When you held that baby, I always say, remember the joy you had. There was no words to express that joy. There was no way you could say, this is how much joy I got from this. I love listening to new mamas. They all say, I don't know I could love someone this much. You guys know what I'm talking about. Grandparents, we have it all the time. You know, I got a grandson named JJ. Man, I love it when he comes. And I love it when he leaves. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you don't know why God gives kids to little kids, wait until you become a grandparent. You'll find out why God gives little kids to young people. They have the energy. Ain't that right, Nancy? Ain't that right, Bud? They got the energy. You know, they moving all the time, whether you like it or not. That's what she was like, you guys. Why am I sharing this with you? Because you have loved ones there. I want your heart to be rejoicing for that. I want you to understand that that one there, no matter how crabby they were here on the planet, is no longer crabby. Amen. That one that was so depressed on the planet, and you was wondering if they'll ever be happy, guess what? They're happier more than you could ever imagine. Everything that you wanted them to have on the planet, they have right now. Is that good news, you guys? It doesn't mean you're not going to miss them. It doesn't mean that you're not going to wish that you could see them. In that book, What It Feels Like to Die, I write and I tell you why we grieve. We don't grieve like others because we have that spiritual connection that's still going on. But we lose something that was supposed to be with us forever. It was the five senses. Whether you realize it or not, we were supposed to see each other forever. Whether you realize it or not, we're supposed to be able to touch each other forever. Whether you realize it or not, we're supposed to hear each other forever. Whether you realize it or not, we're supposed to be able to taste each other forever. Someone said, where's the tasting coming in? Loved ones kissing each other. You get a taste out of that. You're supposed to be able to smell each other forever. Those were given to us in the first two chapters of Genesis. They were given to us to be able to last forever. So when we lose that person and that's cut off, we're going to grieve. You guys getting this? That's why we grieve, you guys. You know, that was supposed to be there forever. Some of you don't have the voices to hear the person that has gone on, and you wish you could hear their voice again. And the reason you wish you could hear their voice is because you were supposed to hear it forever. The greatest thing about it is when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he has opened the door for you to be able to experience it again. I remember when my dad went home to be with the Lord. I have three brothers. They're not close to the Lord at all. I saw the difference in how they grieved my dad going home to be with the Lord and how I grieved it. To me, he just left the planet. As your dad said, when your mom left, she took an earlier flight. You know, that's all it was like to me. Okay. I remember how after I had my first initial shock that my dad was going to leave and I cried, all of a sudden I knew I would see him again. Whether I had the strength to believe it or not, it was on the inside of me and it grew every moment. You know, but I watched my three brothers. I watched how they reacted when my dad left this planet. And he was a very significant person in my life. He was a very significant person in my brother's lives. And how they looked at it is, he's gone. He's no longer existing. I don't know about you, but I would hate to have that feeling. You that born again, just think about to have the feeling that you will not see a person again. And I know some of you right now are saying, I don't even know if they're there. I'm going to tell you right now, if you sense they're there. Stop questioning it. Because the sense would not even be there if it wasn't that they still are alive. No. Someone said, I thought they died. No, you're more alive there than you are here. My Bible tells me that my father is the father of life and not death. He said he was the father of what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're alive. They're not dead. Just to let you know that. You know. And I just want you to understand something. We that are born again, we're going to grieve, but we have hope. We still have the connection. We're still feeling something from them. But it's because of Jesus Christ. Because as you said, John, now this is going to blow somebody's mind. But you said it. Okay. You said I said it. But now you said it in front of everybody. We are all connected through Jesus Christ. And whether you realize it or not, you're still connected to them in heaven through Jesus Christ. Now, don't go getting weird on me. You know what I'm saying? Jesus said we all connected. I'm connected to them and then start worshiping them. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. That's called ancestry worship. And I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you what they want more than anything else. Never to worship them. Because I was in a place, the only ones that got worshiped, the only ones that got worshiped were the Father and Jesus. And you will say, what about the Holy Spirit? He was on the inside of me, helping me to worship the Father and Jesus. And I think it's a great thing that God will put himself on the inside of you to help you to worship him. I mean, you guys, we can't lose. There's a lot more I could say today. But this is what the Father wanted me to share today to this body. Some of you have heard it before. Some of you say, Dean, you said that before. But this time I'm hoping you to realize, as it is in heaven, let it be down here on the planet. Take some of the things that I've said. Some of you are distant from your family. Ask God what you can do to be closer to them. And you may say, well, Dean, you don't know my family. But God does. He'll tell you what to do and not do. He'll lead you in the right way to approach your family. Because God wants your family. You've heard me say it before and I'll say it again. It's awful hard for someone you're praying for to go to hell. It isn't that they don't have their own free will and they can't choose, but you send God Almighty after them. And whether you realize it or not, he wants them more than you do. I share that with you because I want you to grab this today. Ted, this is important that you grab this and you understand he after your family. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they talk about you, he after your family. No matter how they say you a religious nut. No one's laughing. You know you've been called religious nut before. And a lot worse. He's still after them. Can't he put you there because he's after them? Irma, he wants them because he's after them. Jeanette, he's after them. He wants them. What part can you play in him reaching your family? What can you do? Don't give up on him. You older people. Nice older couple. That's really an honor. You know, they don't see too many nice older couples anymore. But you older people, you can write your testimonies down on a piece of paper. And I encourage you to send it to every one of your family members. They'll read it. They may rip it up, throw it away, say, I don't believe in this. But guess what? It's inside of them. And that Holy Spirit will come up on them and remind them of the things that you said God did in your life. I'm just letting you know that. Some of you are modern. Go ahead and text it to them. Email it to them. Whatever you want to do, you know. You can even live chat, whatever you want to do. Do something. But get it in them. They can say they don't believe in it. They can say they don't trust it. They can say it didn't really happen. But it's in them. Yeah. And you know what our God does when it's in them? He uses it. So when they're in their room at nighttime thinking, all of a sudden, well, guess what comes across their mind? That story. And it comes across again and again. And again, just letting you guys know this. He's after your family. I don't even really believe he would have me share it because I thought I was going to share some more things about heaven. But he wanted me to emphasize on this part because he's saying to everybody in this room, I'm after your family. I want your family. I want your family. And it isn't that I haven't said it here before, Tammy. I've said it before. But my Father is saying again, he's saying, I want your family. Pastor Jan told me, he said, sometimes we need to hear it over and over and over again. Because some of us don't get it the first time. Or we didn't hear something that we should have heard the first time and we hear it the second time, Jenny. But God is after your family. No matter where they're at or what's going on, what he's after your family. And whether you like it or not, tag you it. Tag you it. There's a lot more I could say, but that's what my father wanted me to say today. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Please hear what's happening. I just feel this urge inside of me from the Holy Spirit right now that's saying, I want your families. I want them. I want every one of them. Tag, you're it. Please take time out today. You know? Dino, go into your quiet place. Get on your hands and knees. Bow before the Lord and say, what do I need to do, Father? And just do it. Even if he asks you to be like Ananias, going to talk to Saul or Paul, don't go back and tell him that he don't know your family and he don't know what's going on. He knows them better than you do. Don't argue with them. Don't debate them. Don't say, no, you don't know those people. I ain't talking to them no more. I told them I ain't talking to them, and I ain't been talking to them for the last 10 years. Some people are like that. Got an issue. He wants your family. He wants your family. If you want confirmation, God give them confirmation later on that you want the family. Let them, Bill, everywhere you go, you hear he wants your family. You can't get away from it, Billy Joe. He wants your family. Yep. Just because I named your name doesn't mean that I'm only talking to you. But God is a personal God. And guess what he's doing, Patrick? So he's literally saying, I want your family. By name, he's calling you out. Father, thank you for this moment that you, yeah. Thank you for your presence in this place. You know exactly what you're doing. You know how you're reaching each and every person in this room. You know where this is going right now. You know what hearts have just opened up. You know the changes that are going to take place. And every difficult situation, you're going to be there. You're not going to be in a different place when a difficult situation comes up with that person and their family. Doesn't mean, yes, I understand, Father. Doesn't mean their family is going to change right away. But at least light is going to come into a dark place. And where light is, darkness has to leave. I thank you for that, Father. Boy, I see this. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to give it back into pastor's hands. But we are going to pray for people. We're going to pray for people. And chains are going to be gone. Some of you, it's not a chain that you got around you. It's a rope. Like they have the ropes on the ship. And you tied it around yourself. Not the enemy. You did.
Right.
You tied yourself down.
Right.
For whatever reason. You're the one that bound yourself to this.
Yeah.
And God said, I will help you unbind yourself.
Yeah.
Some of you, it is a chain, and he gonna cut it off. Some of you, it's a little string that you think is a chain. And he's just telling you, you can break that yourself. But you're not leaving this room the same way you came in. And when you do leave, your light's gonna shine even brighter on that hill for your family.